In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Reverend Fathers, brothers and sisters in Christ, Christ is in our midst. I've pointed out in the last two sermons that actually didn't record the whole thing, that I say more than just those who are here. I don't just say Reverend Father, Deacon, and brother and sister. I say Reverend Fathers and include everyone, because we pray for those who are absent from us for good cause in each of our services. And that's what you are right now, those who are not with us here in body. You're with us at home, praying with us. And we are mystically connected through sharing in the chalice, through sharing in the communion, that which brings us together, the commune, the community, the Eucharist, binds us together mystically in a way that we don't understand, even more so than family does, even more so than close friends. The body and blood of Christ binds us together as the family of God, as his children. Today, on this fourth Sunday of Great Lent, we remember St. John Climacus of the Ladder. Now, he was a monk who wrote the Ladder of Divine Ascent, which historically has been read every day throughout Lent in the monasteries, and that's why he's remembered during Lent, and this fourth Sunday of Lent, is because it's the tradition of the monasteries to read the Divine Ascent, the Ladder. And he reminds us of our struggle, of the fact that we fearfully work out our salvation through Christ's strength, that we cannot do anything by ourselves, but also that we must be involved in our salvation. He's not just going to save us if we turn away from him and don't allow him to save us. Likewise, he's not going to just give us all the virtues if we don't strive to grow in the virtues. And that's what St. John is teaching us through this. The steps that he gives, if you've never read it, it's worthwhile to look into it. There's some easier versions than reading the whole thing. And remember that it's a book written by a monk for monks. So it's very serious. It's very, very strict, and also written over 1,000 years ago. So just remember that when you read it. Don't think that you can apply these things to your life. Certainly without talking to a spiritual father. That's a father confessor. That's one of the things that he really stresses, is that we don't do anything by ourselves, but instead that we're obedient. And so anyway, when you read the steps, it's not just like fasting, prayer. It's not those kind of things. It's not a list of the various ascetical things that we take on, but instead it's broader than that. It's on detachment from the world. It's on non-possessiveness of those things so that we may go to heaven. It's on obedience. It's on true repentance. There's 30 steps, and each of them is not some short thing, but rather it's a long chapter. It is a wonderful book. I suggest that you read it, but like I said, don't apply anything without speaking to a father confessor or your spiritual father. But it reminds us that we should be taking these steps during Lent, that we should be seeking to be purified from our sins, and that we should be seeking to grow in the virtues, knowing that it's not that which we do that does these things, but rather it's Christ who does these with our cooperation, that he won't do these without him, that he won't do those things without us, I should say, forgive me, but also that any quote-unquote gain that we make in these things, if we attribute it to ourselves, is then falling down a step or two as pride. And also knowing that ascending this ladder that he has taught us about, that St. John has taught us about, is not in a sense the steps of our salvation, but rather that we're saved by Christ's grace through faith, through the remission of sins through baptism, and that is what our salvation is, and we are just seeking to tenaciously hold on to that with any tool that the church has given us, including the latter, including prayer and fasting and giving alms and doing works of mercy and reading the scriptures and attending services, if not in person, by watching them on the internet, by praying the prayers at home. And all of these things are that which aids us in the climb on that ladder. And we have a special gift given to us this Lent, because we have more time than most of us have had for years, who knows how long. So we have the time to practice our prayer rule, to even add a few more prayers like we're supposed to in Lent, to push ourselves. We have more time to pray the services at home. The services are all online, and we can send out the link again of where you can find it. But any of these services you can do as a reader service, including Sunday morning. You can serve the typica. We have the time to pray for one another in a way that we generally don't. Take your directory and pray for each and every person in the directory every day. It only takes like 5 minutes, 10 minutes at the most. We have the time to reach out to one another. Call your brothers and sisters in Christ. We all want to hear other voices. Especially call people that you haven't talked to or don't talk to much. We all are part of the brotherhood, the sisterhood. We're all children of God. And obviously there are personalities that fit together better with other personalities. God designed us with our own personality. You know, we don't have to be best friends with absolutely everybody in the parish. There are people that we may not get along with, but that doesn't mean that we aren't to love them, that we shouldn't pray for them and pray for us all the more, that we can realize that loving them doesn't mean that we love the sin that's in another, that those things that annoy us isn't that person, but instead it's the sin that is in us. The things that you don't like about me are not how God created me. God created me to be good. It's the fallenness. It's my sin. It's my passions that I deal with. So take this time to call one another. So take this time to pray, do prayer rules, to read the services, to pray for one another and to call one another to stay in contact with each other. And fast. We're in a time of financial instability when we don't know what's going to happen. The idea of fasting is not that we go out to fancy restaurants and have crab dinners or anything like that. The idea is that we spend less on food, that the money that we would have spent on meat, instead we give as alms to the poor. So continue in your prayer rules and reading the services and praying and calling one another and fasting. If you haven't started yet, now's the perfect time to start. And fasting. And then also, like I said, that money that you have, that extra money from not eating meat, can go to feed the poor. We have a food, kind of take some food, leave some food, little structure, little cupboard on the fence down by the big red barn, down by the Bailey's house. If you have extra food, if you have canned goods or vegetables or fruit, leave it there. And others can come and take it. People in the community have started to know about it and started to see it and started to fill it up. Take these opportunities. If you don't have money to give, you don't have food to give, then give of your prayers. Call people. That in and of itself is an act of mercy. Visiting the sick, as I said before, we should do that with each other. But also do it with your family members you haven't talked to in a while. Do it with your friends. If you have neighbors who you know are going to be lonely, who are alone, call them. Seek to do whatever you can to serve those around you in whatever way that you can. So make sure we're praying. And make sure that you're saying services and praying and calling one another, both as being parts of the body of Christ, and also as acts of mercy and fast and give. And the main thing is to not lose hope. This is a difficult time. This is something that none of us have really experienced in our lives in this way. And so it's a very difficult time, but as it was pointed out to us in the epistle for the cross last Sunday, that we have a high priest, Jesus, who is able to sympathize with our weaknesses because he has become what we are. He became man. He was incarnate. So he went through those things that we go through as humans. He was hungry. He thirsted. He was tired. He got sick. He is like us in every single way except sin. He never sinned. He wept for his friend Lazarus at the tomb. He knew that he was going to raise him. But he wept because that is not the way he created this world. He didn't create this world for death, that we be separated physically from one another, and certainly not for spiritual death. And so he wept for the sinfulness and the fallenness of the world that brings things like Lazarus' death, that brings things like the coronavirus and war and hatred. But he also knows those things. He knows what it is to be hated and to be reviled. He knows what it is to be beaten almost to death and then hung on a cross to die. So he knows what we're going through. He understands it. He understands separation in a way that we don't, as he hung alone on the cross with the sin of the world on his shoulders. So keep faith during this difficult time. Recognize, like we sing during Great Compline, that God is with us. Understand, all ye nations, for God is with us. And as it says in the scriptures, if God is with us, who can be against us? There's reason to be cautious. There's reason to do the right things in terms of washing your hands religiously. As I said, if you say the Lord's Prayer, or if you say, Lord, have mercy 40 times, that's about the time you should wash your hands. So use that as an opportunity to pray without ceasing. So there's reason to take all these steps and to be careful in all of those things, but there's not reason to fear, because there's nothing that can take us away from the love of Christ. The sickness, hatred, the heat of summer, the cold of winter, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. And so continue to put your faith in him. Continue to pray and to fast and to give alms and to do all those things that we do throughout Lent. And realize that this experience is getting us closer to joining in to the passion of Christ than most Lents are. That this is actually spiritual warfare that the demons are using to try to tempt us away from Christ. But he is with us, and he will continue to give us strength. And he will help us to climb that ladder of the virtues. It is only through his strength that we can do that, and that we can draw ever nearer to him, so that, God willing, at some time in this life, we might be completely united to him, if that is his will. And if not, certainly after we have physically died and are with him in the kingdom fully. To his glory, that of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.